Well, it is hard to believe, but here we are on the first Sunday of Advent. I know, y'all got that shocked look on your face, like, what are you talking about? It's crazy, right? Next weekend is December. It's just insane. I don't know where time has gone, but it has flown by. So as we start this morning, I want to start by lighting the first candle for the first Sunday of Advent, and we are talking about hope today, and so the candle that we light today is the hope candle, and today's reading comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to light the candle, and then we'll read that. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child is born to us, a son given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. For all of eternity, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's powerful. Amen? Let's pray real quick, and then we'll jump into that. Father God, we thank you for hope this morning. We thank you that as long as we have breath in our lungs this morning, no matter where anybody in this room or any person in any church gathering today, no matter how far away they may be from you, no matter how stale they may have grown in their walk with you, maybe they don't know you at all, but Lord, there is hope for us today because of Jesus Christ. Because he came, because he ruled, and because he taught and he lived and he instructed us, Lord, and because he went to the cross for us, and because he rose from the dead, we have hope today that no matter who we are or where we are, that we can find salvation in Christ alone. And he can redeem our lives and set us on the path to follow him. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We are humbled by that this morning. And we just pray and ask for anybody here today that's needing hope, God, that today you would meet them right where they're at. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, just a little history on Advent, if you're not familiar. Advent just means arrival or coming. It's been around the church for centuries. Advent begins the first of four Sundays before Christmas. It's a season when we look back at Christ's first coming, right? It's not just about his first coming, although we look back at Jesus' birth and him coming to earth, right? I mean, we got to remember, it broke the silence of 400 years without a word from the Lord. I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine the situation. We kind of know the situation that the people of Israel were in. A constant coming to the Lord and falling away, and coming to the Lord and falling away, of being placed in captivity, of things looking really, really bleak, right? And really hopeless. And they would cry out to the Lord, and he would restore them. But then comes this silence of 400 years between the Old and the New Testament where no prophetic word from the Lord is given. Man, can you imagine the hopelessness in that? All they had was the Old Testament promises to hold on to. And that's really what hope is. So we look back on his first coming, but we also are looking forward to Christ's return. As Christmas draws, it's not just about the baby in the manger, right? I don't know if you ever seen Talladega Nights, but all I can think of is him saying, I like to pray to baby Jesus, right? Dear little baby Jesus, right? It's not just about dear little baby Jesus, right? Yes, he came as an infant. But we also remember that he's coming again, right? that the scriptures teach very clearly. We have the promises from the Old Testament about his first coming, those prophetic promises, and that's what they hung on to, and that's where they got their hope from. But we, as followers of Jesus in the New Testament times, right, on the other side of that, we have the hope of his second coming. Amen? Listen, I get it. Man, times today look bleak, right? We got a lot of uncertainty in our world today, a lot of fear in our world today. But we don't have to fear, right? We trust in the one who overcame the world, who brought us the good news. Amen? And that's the hope that we have today as believers in Christ. That, yeah, things may look scary as a country for us here in America right now. They may look scary for the world. What's going to happen? My goodness, is there going to be this happen or that happen? We got all these speculations, right? And if we could, let me just flip back, because Isaiah also addresses this issue. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. Listen to what he says. Then the Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. Man, how powerful is this for us today? He is the one that you should fear. We don't have to fear COVID. We don't have to fear, you know, some government takeover. We don't have to fear communism, right? We don't have to fear whatever the latest thing the news is pushing today. Whatever the 24-cycle news circuit is today, we don't have to fear that. It says, Isaiah says this, he is the one, Yahweh is the one that you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They will be snared and captured. Preserve the teaching of God. Preserve the teaching of God. Entrust his instructions to those who will follow me. I will wait for the Lord. Now, here's the interesting thing, right? He says, I will wait for the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament, the word wait and trust are translated in the Hebrew, which mean they have the same meaning. And that word is hope, right? A lot of times in the Psalms, when you see wait and trust, that word is translated hope. I will hope in the Lord. I will wait for the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. He says it here. I will wait for the Lord. And that word is hope. I will hope for the Lord who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. And I will put my hope in him. Right? I don't know where you're at today, but we have no place else today to put our hope but in him. And there's a big difference between biblical hope and worldly hope, right? Well, hope is not wishful thinking. Worldly hope is not, or worldly hope is, we hope that something will happen, or we hope things will turn out this way or that way, because we have no control over the situation, right? But biblical hope is different. Biblical hope is hope in the Bible, and it exists as a secure assurance, a trust placed in a trustworthy God. That's what biblical hope is. A sure assurance of trust placed in a trustworthy God. That we know that there's certain things that God has promised here that no matter how crazy this world gets or seems, that God's going to carry that out, right? As sure as he said it, he is coming again. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I remember what it's like to be lost, right? Anybody remember what you were like before you came to know Christ? I think that's a gift from God. Because sometimes what happens is you see a lot of Christians get puffed up in themselves and who they are now in Christ, and they forget what they used to be like, right? I'm thankful that I remember that. I remember what it was like when I was lost. I was thinking about it on the drive over this morning, the hopelessness that I had in my life. That I had come to a place in my life where I was so hopeless that I felt like life wasn't worth living anymore. I mean, I was in a dark spot. Anybody ever been that way? Been in a dark spot, right? Where you feel like there is no hope? You know, I'm seeing people talk about Jesus all around me. My wife now, who was just, we were dating at the time, you know, again, I think I've told you before, I used to go over there on Sunday nights, and I'd go to church with them, but on Sunday nights, you know, Touched by an Angel was real big then. That show used to tick me off, man, so bad, right? Because I wanted to see God move like that. Here I am, I'm wrestling with this hopelessness. I got no hope, and I'm seeing all these people worship God, and these people talk about Jesus, and man, if you just give your life to Jesus, and you know, and yet I'm faced with this reality in my life that my life feels completely hopeless until one day when I met Jesus, right? In all places, a graveyard, right? And God spoke to me, man, and gave me hope for the first time out of Jeremiah 29:11. Larry, this is exactly what I heard from the Lord. Larry, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Not plans for your destruction, right? And I don't know where you're at today. I don't begin to know where each person is spiritually in this room. But I'm telling you, whatever it is that you're facing right now, whatever things may be pressing upon you, that is true for you. God's plan for you is not to destroy you, but to give you a hope and a future. If you just turn and trust Him. We see this in Isaiah. He's telling the people, man, the good news is this, for a child is born to us. He's prophesying this. A son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, right? They were living in very troubled times. You couldn't trust the government any more than you can really trust them today, right? But he says the government will rest on his shoulders, right? And then people got this confused because he wasn't talking about Jesus coming in and starting a new reign and a new rule and a new government. He was talking about a kingdom government, right? A heavenly government. And it'll be upon his shoulders. And listen, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Anybody need a counselor in here today, right? Wonderful Counselor, right? You can't get a better counselor than the Lord. He will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, right? I don't know who's here who's got a father wound today, but He's Everlasting Father, right? Our earthly fathers may fail us, or they may fall away, or they may even pass away, right? But He is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, right? Now, this is where we often get confused as followers of Jesus. Right? This is where I hear preachers and it makes me die on the inside every time I hear it. Man, if you just give your life to Jesus, man, He'll turn your life around. Everything will be wonderful, right? It'll be rainbows and puppy dogs, right? It's going to be awesome, right? That's not exactly true, and that's not what He meant. That word peace doesn't mean the absence of conflict, but it means the assurance in the midst of conflict that He is with us. He is the Prince of Peace. That yes, in this world, as a follower of Jesus, let me just break it, if nobody's told you that, you will have trouble. Amen? Right? Anybody had trouble in the last 2 years? Come on. Every hand in here should be up. We've all had trouble in one fashion or another. But Jesus is our Prince of Peace. That even in the midst of trouble, we have a hope and a confidence in Him. This is biblical hope. God has not failed us in the past, and therefore His claims are true today. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His government and its peace will never end. And He will rule with fairness and justice from His throne. Right? Anybody in favor of a leader who will rule with fairness and justice? Right? And listen, just so we're not, don't think that I'm swaying anything, but I'm saying, have you ever prayed for that for our current president or any president that's been in office? God, would you change this man? Will you make this man a man of fairness and justice? Lord, would you make this man a man of righteousness? Will you show him your power? Right? That's hard, isn't it? I'm guilty too. I haven't prayed that enough for him. I've spoken more ill about presidents and our current president than I've spent time praying for him. And I just confess that. And we need to do better, right? As the body of Christ, we need to do better. We need to pray for our leaders. He will rule with fairness and justice. He'll be like on any, not like any other leader that we've ever had. And his rule of fairness and justice will be for all eternity, it says. Forever, without end, and without fail. And then I love this. This becomes the promise. He seals the deal for us here. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Without a doubt, you can bank on it, this is going to happen. And it did. In the midst of great chaos and turmoil, along came this baby, the God-man, who entered into our world, who took upon human flesh, and he fought, he changed the world. It goes all the way back, right? We go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 3:15, what does it say? And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. All the way back from Genesis, even to our day, we see this battle of good and evil, of light and darkness, right? We see it all through the Old Testament, and we even see it in our journey today. But yet God moved. God sent his Son to save us. Jeremiah 33:14-16 says this about the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things that I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line who will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. In the Old Testament, there was the hope was seen in many different ways. And I was telling you that. You can see it a lot of times in the wording. Just because it says trust, it may mean the word hope or sometimes wait. When I was reading that this week, it made me think about my time in the military. Right? If you were ever in the military, any veterans in the house, right? Right? So what's the famous saying? Hurry up and wait, right? There's a lot of that happens in the military. Let's go, let's go, let's go. You got to get here, line up, line up, line up. And you stand there for forever waiting for instruction, right? But we wait with hope for the Lord. A couple places in the New Testament I want to take us through as we just journey because I want us to see that this hope now continues in our day. It wasn't just for the coming of baby Jesus. Now, as followers of Jesus, we're on the other side of this, and we're looking for the hope of the second coming of Christ, when Christ is going to return in all his glory, and he is going to change this world, right? Forever and ever and ever, things are going to change. He's going to rule, and he's going to reign, and the Bible says that he'll wipe every tear away from our eye. There'll be no more sickness and sorrow and sadness. Anybody in for that? I don't know about you, but I'm in for that. My hope is in that, right? I can't wait for that. As I say, and it drives my wife crazy, today's always a good day to go be with the Lord, right? I hear people say, well, you know, it's always a good day if you're on the other side of the dirt. And I'm like, it's always a good day to go be with the Lord, too, I think. If you love Jesus, today's a good day, right? So, but in your Bibles, if you have those, flip back to Matthew chapter 1. We're just going to bounce around a few scriptures here because I think they're important for us to look at. Here comes the hope in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him, we just sang about it, Emmanuel, God with us. And man, does it get any better than that, right? And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal is in the Old Testament, it wasn't like that, right? Oh, God spoke and revealed himself to the people, but it was usually through a prophet or one of the priests, right? God would have a man, and he would speak to that man like Moses, and Moses would speak to the people. Thus says the Lord, right? So that's how the Old Testament worked, but in the New Testament, he says, no, in the New Testament, it's going to be different. And we talked about this a little while ago in James and the Hebrews, right? In the New Testament, Jesus comes to live inside of us. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. Man, that is the good news of the gospel, right? He comes to live with us and in us. And that should cause us to celebrate. Matthew 4, verse 15 and 16. In the land of Zebulun, of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Galileans live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. This is the hope that we have in Christ, that those who lived in darkness, I once lived in darkness. Every person in here, I don't care if you grew up in church or not, at some point in time, you lived in darkness and Christ shined his light in you. Amen? And he set you free. And he revealed himself to you. And he revealed himself to me. Unworthy, but his love is great. And just like the people in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, a light has shone in our world. I love the beginning of Luke's gospel. We see this hope continue on. The first couple chapters of Luke with Simeon and Ananias. Excuse me. Luke chapter 2. We see the excitement of these two people who were eagerly waiting for the Lord's appearance. The prophecy of Simeon in Luke 2, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and a devout and was eagerly waiting, eagerly hoping for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. And he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Right? Simeon was so ecstatic. He had been eagerly awaiting the Messiah because God had promised him, "You will not die until you see the Christ, the Messiah." And so that's the same eager expectation you and I should have today, right? How should we be living as followers of Jesus? With an eager expectation for his second coming, right? Not passively sitting by. I mean, the church in America has gotten real good about passively sitting by. We should be eagerly awaiting his second coming, praying for it. I know that's crazy talk now, right? Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Yes, when we see these people in the scriptures, we see Simeon eagerly awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. We should just as eagerly be awaiting that. Look down a couple verses at chapter 2, verse 36. Anna, a prophet who was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phineal and the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had only been married 7 years. And then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God, fasting and praying. She came along just as Simeon was walking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone and had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Right? What about you? Are you waiting expectantly for the Savior to come back and rescue us from this earth? To rescue your loved ones, right? Well, there's a couple things that we can learn from Anna. She committed herself to that. Praying, fasting, right? Never leaving the temple. I'm not saying stay here at Real Life Chapel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? That's not going to work probably, all right? Your new pastor's probably not going to be real appreciative of that. I mean, it might go nice in the beginning, but sooner or later he's going to be like, "You got to go home," all right? But listen, but eagerly awaiting, eagerly seeking after like Anna did. And then when she saw him, she could not stop talking to other people about the Messiah. She could not stop spreading the hope that she had and that she had been given. What about us? In this season of Advent, in this week of the first week of Advent, this week of hope, what constrains you? Man, does the love of God push you and drive you to tell people about the hope in Christ? Man, what a perfect time to spread the love of Jesus to people, right? Then we see their excitement. Flip over to Luke, we'll stay in Luke in chapter 12. This excitement that we should have, that as the body of Christ, this is what we're, some of the things that we're missing. We don't eagerly await him. One is because we don't really know him, and we're supposed to know him. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says this, "Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are already ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat." This is Jesus speaking. "He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready, who are waiting, who are hoping in him. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly what time a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready." When? All the time. Right? Not on Sunday, not just on Sunday. "Well, I got to get ready, man. We're going to church." Right? We shouldn't be people who live for the hope of just one day a week, but every day. Right? Every day. Today could be the day. Hey, you know what? Today could be the day. I don't know when it's going to be, but today could be the day that we see Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? I don't know about you, but it could be the day. Right? You don't look as excited as I feel, right? I think some of y'all are getting nervous. That's okay. You have a chance to repent before we leave today, right? Get it right with the Lord, right? We should be excited about this. All right. "But we should be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." Flip over to 21, chapter 21 of Luke's Gospel. Verse 25. "And there will be strange signs in the sun and moon and stars. And here on the earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all of these things begin to happen, stand up and look, for your salvation is near." Praise God. "Then he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer's near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out! Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Watch out! Don't get sucked into the drama of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware, like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man, right? Listen, man, if we're followers of Jesus, you got nothing to fear, right? Yeah, that sounds scary. Yeah, these things are going to happen. But we just know that means our salvation's near. As followers of Christ, it should not instill fear in us. But hope, man, he is coming, right? He's coming. I don't know about you, but this is the worst time of the season for me. I hate winter. I think the older I get, the more I hate it. Because it's always dark, right? When you work schedule like I do, I go to work at 6 in the morning. I get off 6 the next morning. It's dark when I go to work. It's dark when I go home. I hate it, right? And then there's never enough sunlight. I want light, right? I eagerly await the spring and the summer, right? So we have more time to be outside, more time in the daylight. In that same way, we should be eagerly awaiting the arrival of the Messiah, looking for it, even in the changing of seasons, recognizing that one day those changes of seasons is going to signal that our salvation is nearer than we thought. Man, that's good news, right? For us believers, that's good news. Hebrews chapter 9, we're almost there, folks. We're almost there. Hang in there with me. We're almost there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. We just went through the book of Hebrews not long ago. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it says this: "So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again." Listen, he's coming again. It's a promise. It's said it here. He will come again, not to deal with our sins. When he came the first time as baby Jesus, lived as a man, took our sins upon the cross, and rose from the dead, and gave us eternal life. The second time he's coming, not to deal with sin, the Bible says, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. To rescue us from this world, right? That's good news. You guys don't look happy about that. You should look happy about that, right? That is good news, people. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Let me just start at verse 1. "This is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I have written to stimulate your wholesome thinking and to refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise of Jesus is coming again?'" Right? I know nobody's ever heard that as a Christian. "Oh, you guys talk about Jesus coming again. Well, you've been saying that for 2,000 years, right? Anybody ever had somebody say that to them? I have, right? All the time. That's the kind of their go-to, right? So he says, "What happened to the promise of Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created." They're saying, nothing's changed. You keep saying Jesus is coming. You keep saying these things are going to happen, but nothing's happening. Well, a lot has happened, and a lot more is going to happen. Just people can't see it, right? "They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out and formed the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he's being patient. For who? For our sake, right? He is giving us time to get our junk together. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements of themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth will and everything in it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should we live? Looking forward to the day, right? Looking forward to the day when Jesus will return and God will wipe this world out by fire, right? And he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more sickness and no more war, right? That's what he's going to bring. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth as he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. That's what we're looking forward to. That's why we should be excited at this time of year as we talk about hope today. The hope of his second coming. That he is going to change everything. That this world system that we live in now, this corruption that we see constantly going on, this injustice that we see constantly going on, will one day be done with. And God will rule and reign for all of eternity. Amen? That's good news of the gospel. And if you don't think so, let's just go back to, as I close, if you'll come up and the worship team will come and we'll close. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. You could really read 14, 15, and 16, but I just want to close with this couple verses, the first 11 verses from John. Do not, in the midst of all this, while we are eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus, listen to what he told the disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There are more than enough rooms in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. And, you know, we got to love Thomas steps in. Thomas is like, Lord, we don't know where you're going. What are you talking about? We know the way where you're going. And Jesus replies to him and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can see the Father except through me, or can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. And Philip says, Lord, just show us God. That'd be enough for us, right? You just show us God, we're good. And he says to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Now listen to this. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the works that you have seen me do. Now here's what I want to close with. That word believe in the Greek is the idea of hope and certain expectation. Just with hope and certain expectation, believe that I am in the Father and that he is in me. Or at least with certain hope and expectation, believe because of the work that you've seen me do. Brothers and sisters, today I challenge you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have never heard the good news of Jesus, I don't care where you came from before you came in here, right? God wants to meet with you. God knows you. God loves you. God wants to wipe away your sin. But there is a part that we have to play in that. We have to be willing to lay it down, right? He is not just going to come in and snatch it away from you. You have to be willing to lay this at his feet and give it to him and ask him to forgive you. And man, the Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody, right, would turn from their sin and turn to God, he will forgive and heal and restore, right? Now, your life won't get easy peasy. It won't be rainbows and puppy dogs, right? Your life's still going to be hard. Because Satan wants to destroy anybody who trusts in Christ. But God will be with you. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart or hope in me, for I have overcome this world. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the hope that in this Christmas season of 2021 that we can have in the midst of this crazy, ridiculous world that we're living in. Our hope is not in this world or its system. Our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if God is speaking to you, then I would challenge you and encourage you and beg you and plead with you, don't sit in your seat. Come down here. Bow in his presence. There's nothing magical about bowing, but there's something humbly about bowing in his presence and asking him to forgive your sin. And I would love to pray with you and for you. But let's just close and worship God.
So this song, it's not much of a sing-along song, but we thought it went well with the message today. So just close your eyes and listen to the words and hear God speak to you. And please, if you feel like God's leading you to come up and pray, or even just pray at your seat, do so. There is a moment every heart needs a rescue. There is a season every soul needs a breakthrough. Help from heaven. We all need help from heaven. There is a whisper, a voice of hope inside you. There is an answer, a name above to guide you. Help from heaven. We all need help from heaven. Oh, help from heaven. We need a hand to hold us when no miracle is found. We still believe. Oh, when the sea of night surrounds us and no questions try to drown us, just believe.